right. We've been looking forward to this meeting, and it just seems like it just started, and it's already coming to an end. But we have tonight, and we are excited about hearing Brother Hamlin again. He's been a blessing to the church, and we're very, very grateful for him coming to see us. And so let's give him one last time a warm Pacific Baptist welcome.
Open your Bibles, the book of Exodus, chapter 28. We're thankful for each of you that are in the service tonight, and I've been blessed by all of the special music. I appreciate so much the fellowship and just the joy, the privilege, the honor to be here these handful of days. I'll be forever grateful for that phone call 3 years ago now when your faithful pastor and my dear friend, Dr. Steve Myers, called me and asked me about the possibility of coming and preaching a winter revival meeting. I'll be forever grateful for that phone call, and now I get to come, and I've just enjoyed every single moment. I've enjoyed every single minute. In fact, I'll be quick to tell you that if Dr. Myers does not invite me back, I'm going to come back anyhow. I'm going to come back, and I'm going to pout in the parking lot. That's what I'm going to do. And I so appreciate his genuine, real, authentic friendship, and I so appreciate the evident hand of God upon his ministry here at the Pacific Baptist Church in Long Beach, California. I am thankful for the comfortable motel room, delicious meals, warm times of fellowship, every act of kindness. There's a verse in one of the four Gospels that says, if you give one a glass of cold water in the name of Jesus, great will be your reward. And as I've been here now a handful of days, you've given me more, you've given me more, you've given me more than a glass of cold water. I think about Dr. Myers and his sweet wife and precious family. I think about the great staff that you have here. Your staff, I mean, they are a crack staff. I don't mean they're on crack. But you've got a crack staff. And they're just top drawer. And appreciate Brother Ross and others. Dr. Esposito has been so kind to me. Too many that I could ever mention. And have just gone out of your way to make me feel comfortable and at home. And just the singing has been such a blessing. I think about the young ladies that sang tonight and the sister that sang just a moment ago. Hey, if that didn't bless your heart, then what you need to do is just raise your hand, let us know who you are, main floor, balcony, main floor, just raise your hand if that didn't bless your heart, and we'll contact the local funeral home and they'll send an undertaker by to haul your corpse out from this church. Because I'll tell you what, that was wow. I mean, wow. And what's great about the word wow is either forward or backward, it's still wow. And I've been blessed by the singing, and it certainly has set the stage for the preaching of the Word of God. Again, thank you, Dr. Myers, for the privilege of being in your pulpit these days. And one more time, I want to give you a heartfelt congratulations on the recent degree. Let's give him a warm hand. What do you say? Recent degree. From the Midwestern Baptist College. And you are now alumni. And I will collect your alumni dues after the service tonight. Book of Exodus, chapter number 28, and I'll begin reading with verse number 31 through verse number 35, where we find the text of the message. And I would invite you to stand with me as I read the Word of God. Book of Exodus, chapter 28, beginning with verse number 31 through verse number 35. I remember Dr. Esposito preaching in a conference a number of years ago, and there was a preacher that one night in that conference preached in front of me. And he preached one of those sermons where everything was wrong, nothing was right. I think he even preached against breathing. Everything, Brother Gary, was wrong. Nothing was right. And so as I was waiting to preach, I took out my pen and a 3x5 card, and I wrote down this statement: there's more to preaching than hollering and hammering. Now, wait a minute. One of my degrees is in hollering and hammering. But there's more to preaching than hollering and hammering. And every message I wrote on that 3x5 card ought to have an element of help to it. And that's what I want to try to do tonight. I want to be a help. Book of Exodus chapter 28. And I'll begin reading with verse number 31 through verse number 35, where we find the text of the message. And thou shalt make the robe of the ephod all of blue, and there shall be an hole in the top of it, in the midst thereof. It shall have a binding of woven work around about the whole of it, as it were the whole of a habergeon, that it be not rent. And beneath upon the hem of it thou shalt make pomegranates of blue, and of purple, and of scarlet, round about the hem thereof, the bells of gold between them round about, a golden bell and a pomegranate, a golden bell and a pomegranate, upon the hem of the robe round about. And it shall be upon Aaron to minister, and his sound shall be heard when he goeth in unto the holy place before the Lord. And when he cometh out, that he die not. Please look back with me at verse number 34, the book of Exodus, chapter 28, and verse number 34. A golden bell and a pomegranate. A golden bell and a pomegranate upon the hem of the robe round about. And for a few moments, I want to speak to you on the subject tonight, pointers from the pomegranate. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this privilege to stand behind a sacred desk to preach the word of God. If in all my heart I want to be a blessing, but the only way that I can be is if you hide me behind the cross and fill me with the Spirit. Place a hedge around this great church by the blood of Christ to keep the devil and his demons from hindering this service. Save the sinner and stir the saint. Heavenly Father, for all that you'll do in our midst and even in our hearts tonight, we will be careful to give you all the praise and honor and glory. Bless and protect my precious family as I'm away. Give us fresh, warm bread from the oven of heaven to feed from tonight. And Lord, I'd request, oh, how I would request that you'd clothe me in my calling. For we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. And you may be seated. There's not a single page of the Bible, but what both the servant of God and the saint of God can gain help for their service for God. From the smallest item or slightest individual can surface the most significant insight, inspiration, and instruction. Divine nuances should always be duly noted, especially when they come from between the covers of the Word of God. Pointers from the pomegranate. In the book of Exodus chapter 28, we find the holy particulars of the high priest. This chapter could be easily or effortlessly outlined like this: the ministry of the high priest, verses 1 through 3. The materials of the high priest, verses 4 through 30. The mantle of the high priest, verses 31 through 35. The mitre of the high priest, verses 36 through 49. And then the mission of the high priest, verses 40 through 43. It is while the prophet Moses is dealing under the direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit with the mantle of the high priest that a person sees the first mention of the word pomegranate in the Bible. Verse 34, a golden bell and a pomegranate. A golden bell and a pomegranate upon the hem of the robe round about. 23 times from the first time of Exodus 28, 34, to the last time of Haggai 2:19, this Mediterranean fruit, known for being both bitter and sweet, is mentioned. Now, on a strictly personal note, some of my earliest memories as a child go back to when my mother would always, every fall of the year, my mother would have in our home a pomegranate. They're not only called a pomegranate, but they're also called, at least in Michigan, they're called an Indian apple. The fruit bowl of the Bible has in it figs, 1 Kings 4:25. Apples, Proverbs 7:2. Grapes, Numbers 13:23. And don't miss it, pomegranates, Numbers 28:34. This pomegranate is a type of both the bitter and sweet seasons the believer sojourns in their service for the Savior. The sister verse of Exodus 28:34 is Ecclesiastes 3:4, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. You see, the unique thing, the unusual thing about a pomegranate is that it's bitter, but it's also sweet. The unique thing, the unusual thing about a pomegranate, it is sweet and it's also bitter. It is the only fruit known to man that has both a sweetness to it and a bitterness to it, a bitterness to it and a sweetness to it as well. Dr. Lee Robertson once said, "Everything worthwhile in my life was born through troubles." Never forget, when the dedicated child of God comes to a pungent situation, they need to just get another bite of the pomegranate of service and watch it become a pleasant situation. Now, if you miss everything that I preach tonight, I pray that you would not miss that. And it even bears repeating when the I'm not talking about the Christian that only comes to church on Sunday morning. I'm not talking about the church member that only shows up for Christmas and Easter, a CEO church member. They only come for Christmas and Easter. And there's some church members that would never recognize the auditorium unless it's they're decorated in Christmas poinsettias and Easter lilies. I'm not talking about the Christian that comes sporadically and spasmodically, but I'm talking about when the dedicated child of God comes to a pungent situation, they need to just get another bite of the pomegranate of service and watch it become a pleasant situation. Quickly tonight, there are four plug into your life practical truths from the pomegranate for the believer's life and labor. Let's quickly notice it tonight, pointers from the pomegranate. Number one, the work of God does not exempt from bitter times. 2 Timothy 4:10, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. A fascinating benefit that comes from the biblical fruit of the pomegranate is the work of God doesn't exempt from bitter times. In 2 Timothy 4:10, the Apostle Paul tells us that one of the greatest experiences, or rather I should say the hardest, Joe Biden moment, one of the hardest, funny and you're letting on, one of the hardest experiences in the Christian service is to see those walk away that once were in the same, oh my, eternal harness. Evangelist Oliver B. Green once said about this spot in the scriptures that as the old apostle stood in the shadows of death when he really needed friends and the encouragement friends could give, Demas forsook him, having loved this present world. Anybody that serves the Savior for any length of time will be disappointed, dismayed, and even discouraged by a disloyal Demas. The unknown poet must have known well about this unpleasant moment when he penned the empty chair at the table, a vacant seat, where once a friend, now a bitter defeat, the laughter silenced, the joy now gone, a love betrayed, a lonely dawn. But the secret of Brother Paul's survival of such sorrow is simply verse 11, verse 12, verse 13, verse 14, verse 15, verse 16, and then comes verse 17, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, because he kept penning hurt, or a person could say playing hurt. He came to the place of the Lord's presence even in his heartbreak. You know what the Apostle Paul did? He just took another bite. You know what the Apostle Paul did? He just took another bite. You know what the Apostle Paul did? He just took another bite. And boy, there's a pointer from the pomegranate that hung there around the bottom of the robe of the high priest. And that pointer is, all the work of God doesn't exempt from bitter times. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Breaking news, game time demands plain hurt. Let me circle the field and buzz the tire one more time. Game time demands plain hurt. When our grandson, Dr. Myers, Evan, was 9 years old, he played junior varsity football. And Mrs. Hamlin and I went to one of his games, and in one play, he took an extremely hard hit. I mean, extremely hard hit. In fact, the hit was so hard that, well, it knocked him out, and the referee stopped the game, and the team doctor took our grandson off the field and put him on the injury bench, and when that happened, oh my, Mrs. Hamlin cried. After about 10 minutes, we watched from the stands as our grandson Evan slowly stood up and limped over to the sideline and quietly stood right next to Dr. Esposito, the head coach. Didn't say a word. When the coach would move right, my grandson would move right. When the coach would move left, my grandson would move left. Never said a word, just stood there. All of a sudden, the coach, oh my, realized who was standing next to him and hit him on the head, top of the helmet, and sent him back into the game, and I cried. Child of God, keep playing hurt, keep playing hurt, keep playing hurt, and while you do, take another bite from a pomegranate, because the next bite just might be sweet. The next bite just might, oh, I know you took a bite and it was sour. I know you took a bite and it was bitter, but you can't stop at that bite. You've got to take another bite, and you got to play hurt, and you got to suck it up, buttercup. And put your big boy pants on and put your big girl dress on, because girls wear dresses and boys wear pants. Say amen right there. And go ahead and take another bite, because the work of God doesn't exempt from bitter times. Number two, don't be overwhelmed in the bitter nights or overconfident in the sweet days. Acts 20 and 18, you know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I've been with you at all seasons, a fascinating benefit that comes from the biblical fruit of a pomegranate is don't be overwhelmed in the bitter nights or overconfident in the sweet days. In Acts 20 and 18, the physician Luke tells us that one of the grandest peaks into the Apostle Paul's godly personality was the 2 years and 3 months that he spent in Asia. It's the subtle fold in the fabric of Scripture that so many, Dr. Myers, don't find. After what manner I've been with you at all seasons. I like the note that's in the margin of the Hamlin Reference Bible next to that verse, because it simply reads, the Moses of the New Testament didn't live a roller coaster of emotions Christian life. God never intended for me or you or for any of us that are saved to be up and down, to be in and out, to be hot and cold. God never entitled, preach on, Dr. Hamlin, preach on. God never desired for us to live the Christian life that kind of a way. That is not the way you live the Christian life. And friend, it's a fabric, a fold in the fabric of Scripture that so many miss and so many make a mistake of not picking up on, that Paul said, don't let the highs go to your head and don't let the lows go to your heart. Friend, you and I need to plug into our lives the practical truth from the pomegranate. Don't be overwhelmed in the bitter nights or overconfident in the sweet days. Now, there are several things that will give the saint a steady as we go sojourn, and it may shock you, stun you, and even surprise you, but first of all, the Scriptures that counsel us. Psalm 119, 24, thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. You see, a thing that will give the believer a steady as we go sojourn is the Scripture that counsel us. The King James Bible that you and I carry contains 66 counselors. You may call them books, and they are books, but counselors to carry us through the trials and troubles and tribulations of life. Boy, I appreciate my buddy Oscar. Got saved on Sunday morning, back Sunday afternoon, back Monday night, here Tuesday night. Now, if you show up tomorrow night, Monterey Park, you're a stalker. That's what you are. But Brother Oscar, let me just say to you, sir, God's given you a Bible, and it's got 66 books in it. Those are 66 counselors. And now in your newfound faith, you can, sir, go through anything because you've got a Bible, because you've got a Bible, because you've got a Bible. And friend, what will give you, I feel a preaching storm getting ready to break in here tonight, really I do, because you and I have the Word of God. We've got these counselors. The Scriptures that counsel us. Secondly, the saints, I'm going to get stuck here, that come beside us. 1 Samuel 23:16, and Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthen his hand in God, a thing that will give the saint a steady as we go sojourn is the saints that come beside us. Some child of God helped you back on your feet when you were down for the count. Don't you forget that preacher that helped you. Don't you forget that preacher's wife that helped you. Don't you forget that bus worker that helped you. Don't you forget that Sunday school teacher that helped you. You see, you and I are here tonight because somebody invested in us. Somebody poured their life into us. And God help that we would forget about those who helped us when we were down. I remember when I started in evangelism 45 years ago this year. This year we're marking our 45th year on the revival road. And I remember there were five preachers, Dr. Myers. I'm kind of in a mood and I may call their names tonight. Who knows? But there were five preachers that I did not ask counsel from, that thought it was their job to come and rain on my parade. And they said things like, you'll not make it in evangelism. They said things like, nobody's ever going to have you. They said things like, you're going to starve to death. Now, it's amazing because 45 years later, I preach for all those fellas. And you ought to hear their introductions. They're amazing. Oh, I've always been behind Dr. Hamlin. Always knew he'd be a voice in fundamentalism. I always knew Dr. Hamlin would have a full calendar, and I'm sitting there thinking to myself, waiting to preach, Pinocchio, your nose is growing. But here's the problem. We give too much attention to individuals like that instead of giving attention to those who believed in us and those who helped us and those who encouraged us, because I promise you, there are more that helped us than hindered us. Amen. The saints that come beside us. Thirdly, the Spirit that comfort us. John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, a thing, and it's not a thing, it's a person that will give a saint a steady as we go sojourn is the Spirit that comfort us. In an upside down time, the believer has living, oh my, inside of them the Holy Ghost, which provides a spiritual gyroscope that can keep them always right side up. The Spirit that comfort us. All that every saint that's in this service and watching by way of internet would realize the things that will give them a steady as we go sojourn are the scriptures that counsel us, the saints that come beside us, and the Spirit that comfort us. You see, what you need to do is take another bite. Well, I know you got a bitter bite, but that's not time to quit. I know you had a bad bite, but that's not time to give up. Because this Bible fruit, it's the only fruit in the world that is bitter and sweet and bitter. And you know what? The high priest had to have it hanging on his robe. Oh, listen, friend, this pointer that comes from the pomegranate that we need to get a hold of tonight is don't be overwhelmed in the bitter nights, overconfident in the sweet days. General Ulysses S. Grant's chief of staff, lawyer John A. Rawlins, was closer to Grant than any other during the war. In fact, Dr. Myers, it was to Rawlins that Grant gave this pledge that he would abstain from intoxicating liquors. When he broke that pledge, Rawlins went to him and with great earnest pleaded with him for the sake of himself and for the sake of the great and holy cause of the nation to refrain from strong drink. In front of the Capitol at Washington today, there stands the magnificent monument of General Grant sitting on his horse in characteristic battle scene, but at the other end of Pennsylvania Avenue, but on the other end of Pennsylvania Avenue, but at the other end of Pennsylvania Avenue, a little south of the avenue is Rawlins Park, where there stands a very ordinary, commonplace statue of John A. Rawlins. Oh, if you'd be extremely transparent, Christian, you'd have to say that you're in the battle for God and good, because there's some brother or there's some sister like Rawlins that kept you on your horse. Don't be overwhelmed in the bitter nights or overconfident in the sweet days. Number three, bitter times still have the fingerprint of omniscience upon them. Genesis 18:25, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? A fascinating benefit that comes from the biblical fruit of the pomegranate is bitter times still have the fingerprint of omniscience upon them. In Genesis 18:25, the prophet Moses tells us that from the prayer closet of Father Abraham, while he interceded for the city of Sodom, comes one, oh my, of the greatest foundational truths of all of the ages, that God's complete awareness always brings his correct action. The hymn writer wrapped this same forever fact in music and melody when he wrote, sometimes on the mount where the sun shines so bright, God leads his dear children along. Sometimes in the valley, in the darkest of night, God leads his dear children along. Friend, you and I need to plug into our lives the practical truth from the pomegranate that bitter times still have the fingerprint of omniscience upon them. Newsflash, we know that God is going to do right in unpleasant times. But the question is, will you? And you can, even through the tears and fears of a serious physician's report, an unjust hurt, and a grave of a loved one, by taking, oh my, another bite from the pomegranate Providence has placed in your hand, dear child of God. I don't know what you're going through tonight. I don't know what you're up against tonight. But listen, it may be a bitter time. It may be a bitter moment. It may be a bitter season. Hey, God sent me by this pulpit to say to all those under the sound of my voice, if it's bitter, hey, take another bite. Take another bite. Take another bite. It might be bitter, but the next bite just might be sweet. And then number four, and last of all, my time is gone. Look back at the text, Exodus 28 and 34, a golden bell and a pomegranate. A golden bell and a pomegranate upon the hem of the robe round about. You say, well, I don't see the connect. Well, here you go, verse number 35. And it shall be upon Aaron to minister. That's what you do in that Sunday school class. You minister. That's what you do on that bus route. You minister. That's what you do in the nursery. You minister. That's what you do, fellas, in the sound booth and in the media department. You minister. That's what you do in the security area. That's what you do as the bus director. That's what you do as the Christian school principal. That's what you do. You fill in the blank of what you and I do for the Lord Jesus Christ. We minister, we minister, we minister. And isn't it amazing, Dr. Myers, that God said on that robe, there's got to be that pomegranate. It's that fruit that's bitter, but it's sweet. It's sweet, but it's bitter. When you throw in the towel, you're just saying you didn't take another bite. When you give up, you're just saying I didn't take another bite. When you say it's hard, it's difficult, it's laborious, you're just testifying you didn't take another bite. Because the next bite might be the best bite that you ever had. Number four, and last of all, not only number one, oh, listen, we're talking about pointers from the pomegranate. Number one, the work of God doesn't exempt from bitter times. Number two, don't be overwhelmed in the bitter nights or overconfident in the sweet days. Number three, bitter times still have the fingerprint of omniscience upon them. And then number four, and last of all, sweet saints come from bitter situations. Acts 16:25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. A fascinating benefit that comes from the biblical fruit of the pomegranate is sweet saints come from bitter situations. In Acts 16:25, the physician Luke tells us that the apostle Paul and his travel companion Silas were inside a prison cell, but they remained delightful even in a disagreeable place, even to the extent that after stripes, supplications, songs, and shouts, they engage in soul winning and several are saved. Acts 16:31, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Dr. John R. Rice once penned about this scene in the scriptures. Here are two of God's men beaten and in pain and disgrace with a threatening tomorrow. They are among strangers far from home, yet instead of despair, there is joy and gladness. Hey, don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Just take another bite. Who said white men can't jump? Now, I hope you appreciated that move, because that's four trips to the chiropractor. I hope you appreciated that. Oh, take another bite. Take another bite. Take another. Stop your whining. Stop your whimpering. Take another bite. I'm having more fun than a barrel of monkeys tonight. On a strictly personal note, what I appreciate about Brother Paul and Brother Silas is they didn't take a photo of their jail cell and post it on Facebook with the caption, hardships and heartaches of serving the Savior. Amen. Take another bite. Take another bite. Take another bite. I don't know, maybe it ought to be the official motto of the Pacific Baptist Church in Long Beach, California, when somebody begins to complain and begins to just carp and to crank, that somebody just looks at them and says, take another bite. Out of all the fruits in the fruit bowl of the Bible, it wasn't a fig on the hem of the high priest's robe. It wasn't an apple on the hem of the high priest's robe. It wasn't a grape on the hem of the high priest's robe, but neighbor, it was a pomegranate. You're welcome. I was preaching in a conference recently and I said, you're welcome. And the lady got up and said, goodbye. Walked out. Couldn't believe Mrs. Hamlin did that to me. I could not believe it. Friend, you and I need to plug into our lives the practical truth from the pomegranate that sweet saints come from bitter situations. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:7, the full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul, oh my, every bitter thing is sweet. Did you get the email? When you're really, truly hungry for God in your life, even those things which are sour still have a tremendous sweetness to them. Look at the text. Exodus 28. And 34, a golden bell and a pomegranate. A golden bell and a pomegranate upon the hem of the robe round about. Did you ever notice that some of the sweetest people that are members of the Pacific Baptist Church here in Long Beach, California, some of the sweetest saints. I'm talking about saints that it's always a great day when your path crosses with them. It's always a great service when you don't get to spend a whole lot of time with them, but just when your path intersects with their path, it's always a great time. Did you ever notice that usually, 10 times out of 10, they have burdens that would bust a bridge? But they're some of the sweetest saints. You know what they learned? Take another bite. Take another bite. Take another bite. See, the difference between serving God for days and decades is another bite. The difference of serving God for the sprint or for the marathon is another bite. And I believe I'm preaching to some Christians tonight that I don't doubt that you hit a bitter spot. I don't doubt that, because the pomegranate has bitter spots. But you just got to take another bite, because the next bite just might be the best bite. I'm closing with this. After the homegoing of my mentor, Dr. Tom Malone Sr. on January 7th, 2007, his family gave me his briefcase. When Mrs. Hamlin and I opened it, we were absolutely, Dr. Myers, amazed, moved, and astonished by its personal contents. There was a gospel tract that I wrote. I'll never forget it. When I opened that briefcase, his own personal briefcase, I mean right there was the tract that I wrote. He had saved the one I gave him. There was the gospel tract that I wrote. There was a portable transistor radio. Dr. Malone loved sports. There was a pair of sunglasses, prescription sunglasses, and a sunglass case. There was a motel key. There was an offering envelope. And yes, I'm an evangelist. I looked inside. He said, was there anything in it? Was there anything in it? That's none of your business. There, offering envelope and paper clip to a compartment where Dr. Malone would see it each and every time. He opened his briefcase, yellowed with time, a small newspaper obituary. It read in part, Sylvia E. Malone, funeral will be Tuesday at 2 p.m. from Percy Funeral Home for Sylvia Elaine Malone, infant daughter of Dr. Thomas L. and Joyce Harnard Malone. Sylvia died at St. Joseph Mercy Hospital Saturday after an illness of 3 weeks. She was born in Pontiac, January 8th, 1954. Now, did you catch that? This was Dr. Malone's briefcase. My gospel track. Transistor radio. Prescription sunglasses. Sunglass case. An offering envelope. And a yellowed with time, small obituary of his daughter. His daughter never got to go home. She went, Dr. Myers, from the nursery of the hospital in Pontiac to the cemetery in the infant section. Old members of the Great Emmanuel Baptist Church told me that they remember the Sunday that between Sunday morning and Sunday night, Dr. Malone carried his daughter's coffin out to the cemetery and buried her. They say old members of the Emmanuel, they never said a word about it. They never mentioned it. That between that Sunday morning service and that Sunday night service, he did the hardest thing that I think a parent I can't even imagine will ever do. That's bury their own child. And he never, not one single time, said one word about it. From January 20th, 1954 to January 7th, 2007, every time he opened his briefcase to take out his Bible to preach somewhere in this country, he was reminded of his daughter who went again from the hospital nursery to the baby's memorial section of the cemetery. For 53 years, Dr. Malone bore this big burden, but still maintained the testimony of a gracious giant for God all the way to his grave, because he just took another bite. He just took another bite. He just took another bite from the pomegranate. Her heads are bowed, her eyes are closed. Pointers from the pomegranate. I don't know who needs the truth tonight. I don't know who needs the message tonight. I don't know who may be facing something or going through something that just the weight of it seems impossible to carry. Though I may not understand that, I do hope, Dr. Myers, I understand this, that in those bitter times, it's another bite that'll get us through. We stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. The young ladies that sang in the early part of the service could come to the platform with heads bowed and eyes closed. And as they begin to sing, you're here tonight. And I'm not even going to ask for the raising of hands. I don't believe in a service like this, in a meeting like this, after a message like this, I don't think that I should have to strap a GPS under your Bible and program altar to get you to come. That's it. That's right. As they begin to sing, would you step out and come?
I've just come into a valley, one like I've never been before.
Pointers.
I keep searching for
from the pomegranate.
Seems like padlocks on the doors. Oh, there must be. be another sunrise, another sunset that I'll see. God will make this trial of
life. You're here tonight
and
you're lost.
That's the love
Jesus loves
he
you.
Has for me.
He died for you. He was buried and rose again from the dead that you might be saved. And if you'll simply but step out right now, some kind person will take an open Bible and will lead you to Christ. If there was no heaven to gain, and there is. If there was no hell to shun, and there is. I'd still want to be saved because of the comfort that Christ provides.
This trial a blessing,
and you and I can
and
make
the
it
whole wide world will see
without taking another bite. Girls, continue to sing.
I was not the first one to come into this place.
Maybe there's someone in this service that
every child of God,
you know,
has this test
is carrying a heavy burden. Why don't you slip alongside of them? And not in a haughty or high-minded way, but why don't you say, hey, let's go to the altar and pray. And then you pray with them the way you would want someone to pray with you. Now, if you're standing there right now as these girls are singing, thinking to yourself, well, somebody needs to come to me. You've missed the message altogether.
When I was in the lowest
it's not about me. It's not about you.
It's
not even about us. It's about others.
It's good to
about
see
others.
The sunshine and to taste sweet victory. God has made this trial a blessing. Oh, the grace
pointers.
He gives to me.
From a pomegranate.
God will make this trial a blessing.
What is it you need to do tonight?
Though it sends me to
decision
my knees.
Decision you need to make.
Though my tears flow like
oh,
a river,
right
yet in Him there's sweet relief.
Pastor.
There's no need to get discouraged. There's no need to talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see. God will make this trial a blessing, though it sends me to my knees. Though my tears flow like a river, yet in Him there's sweet relief. There's no need to get discouraged. There's no need to talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see. God will make this trial a blessing. That's the love He
pray together this evening. Our Father, we're so grateful for the encouragement we received tonight. Lord, help us to remember to keep our eyes focused on You. Lord, I pray for anybody that's going through difficulty tonight. I pray that You give them the strength. Help them to take another bite. Help them to realize sweetness is around the corner. You're just working in our lives. Thank You for these messages we've heard over the last few days. We've heard every angle. Lord, we've been strengthened and encouraged and hopefully revived because of what we've heard. Be with us now, Lord, until we meet together again. Thank You for those that are here. I pray, Lord, as we leave and go our way, that we would be just a little bit different because we've been together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.